introduce somebody today. Back in September of 1998, Pastor Aiken had asked Pastor West to start this church here in Coopersville. And something the Lord had laid on Pastor Aiken's heart around that time. I mean, obviously before that, but a lot of prayer went into that. And it is so cool to see what God has done here over the last 27 years. 27 years. Phenomenal. But while Pastor West is out, it is my privilege and honor to welcome Pastor Aiken and his wife Cookie here with us. Would you welcome Pastor Aiken as he comes to share the word? Amen.
Okay, I guess I'm on. All right. It's good to be here. My age is good to be above the ground. Amen. I remember way back when Josh, at that time that he was talking about, he was my music director, and Pastor West stole him. Did. You know, he wouldn't come on his own. So Pastor West offered him his daughter. I'll give him credit for one thing. He knows how to get them. Amen. It's good to be here. And like I said, man, it's my age. It's good to be anywhere above the ground. So, hey, my wife is with me. And next month, we will be celebrating 60 years together. And she's still good looking. I lost it, but she hasn't. Amen. So, hallelujah. I'm glad to be here. And you're all looking good this morning. Good morning, Dave. Good to see you.
God bless you, brother. Love you.
Thank you. I love you too, man. Dave and I, he used to sit on my board, tell me what to do. Yeah. So, good to have you. Hey, take your Bibles this morning. Go to Numbers, the 15th chapter. Numbers chapter 15, verse 32. And when you get there, if you would stand for the reading of God's word, and by standing, you show me that you're there. So, I like to wait for people to find the verse. That was always one of my pet peeves, to go somewhere and they would preach, and they'd tell you what verse they're preaching from, and they'd have it read by the time you found it. Amen? It looks like we're there. Now, I want to kind of apologize for this sermon this morning, but it's not my fault. Pastor West told me exactly what to say. No, I'm kidding. I hope they're having a good time. Are you there?
Yes.
Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death, but all the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Father, I pray your anointing this morning. I ask it in the name of Jesus upon your speaker and upon your children who listen. Father, I pray that you will deliver to the heart of each individual exactly what they need to get out of this sermon. And I'll give you the glory for it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You know, it's easy sometimes when you're reading your Bible just to Cadillac through it. If you don't know what that means, it means, you know, you're just kind of reading it and you're going through it. And maybe you're trying to get your three chapters a day in or whatever it might be. And, you know, you just kind of cruise through it and then you don't, you know, you get all done and you say, what have I read? And then there's those other times where you're going through it and, you know, a verse catches you. It just reaches out and grabs you. And, man, you can't get that verse out of your mind. It troubles you. You think about it all the time. You know, what in the world's going on? That's what this scripture did to me. It just reached out and grabbed me. Let me give you some background. All right, Israel was on a journey through the wilderness, and this was after the refusal. They refused God to enter to the promised land, and for their disobedience, God had sent them back into the desert for 40 years. And during this 40-year desert tour, they had seen the miracles of God. They had experienced the results of not trusting God. They seen what had happened to those who were rebellious. They watched as the earth opened up and swallowed up Korah and others who wanted to question the leadership of Moses. And so the reason I bring this out is because this story is not about sticks, even though my title is Picking Up Sticks. Okay? We look at this man picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, and there was no excuse for this man's disobedience. He was doing it on the Sabbath. It was the day of rest. No one was supposed to work on the Sabbath day, and he's out picking up sticks. And some of the congregation catches this guy picking up sticks. And so they bring him to Moses, all right? And they say, hey, Moses, what do we do with this guy picking up sticks on the Sabbath day? It was interesting to me that nobody knew the penalty for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. So they put him under guard. And Moses went to God. And he said, Lord, what do we do with him? And God said, kill him. Stone him to death. I don't know whether he said it like that, but that's my rendition. And that's where this scripture kind of grabbed me. All right? I thought, just for picking up sticks? God, that's pretty rough. In light of some of the sins that I know people commit, hello, that's pretty harsh, killing somebody for picking up sticks. You know, I thought about it. I thought, man, this guy may have run out of wood for fire and it was cold outside, or maybe he had a baby in the house and it was cold and he wanted to get the place warm. Maybe he had a good reason for picking up sticks. Whatever it was, it didn't seem to me that it ought to be that offensive to God for picking up sticks. Listen to me. There are sins in our lives that we may not feel are all that bad, and they may even seem as insignificant as picking up sticks. All right, I got to tell you something. It's okay to say amen. You won't scare me. I said, there are sometimes we do things that we think are okay, and God sees them in a completely different light. And yet we learn from these scriptures that those things and those sins can lead us to death if not dealt with in our lives. See, we don't always look at things the way God looks at them. Mr. Good Place, say amen. Come on. We see only what we are doing and not what we are doing is connected to. Come on. We only see the thing that we are doing and we think, that's not all that bad. Come on. See, I want you to see how a simple thing like picking up sticks affects more than just picking up sticks. We need to look a little deeper into the significance of this sin of picking up sticks. So I want to share with you this morning 7 significant sins this man committed from picking up sticks. Number one, sin number one, it was on the Sabbath. See, keeping the Sabbath was a command of God. And by picking up sticks, this man was rebelling against God's commandment. He was saying, in a sense, listen, God, I don't have to do what you tell me to do. I can do it on my own. I can figure this all out. Got my own beliefs. Hello, somebody. See, I don't have to do what you want me to do if it's inconvenient or if it costs me something. Perhaps he was thinking what I was thinking after I read this. He probably thought, surely God will understand. I'm running out of wood for my fire. He certainly will understand that. You see, this sin was a sin of fulfilling my need rather than being obedient. Now you got it. Whew. That amen was almost out loud. Hallelujah. So, there are multitudes of people that are putting their own needs, their own desires, their own pleasures before the commands of God, and many of them are Christians. Listen, we don't think like God thinks. And we don't understand when he doesn't think like we think, and we try to use common sense instead of obedience. Listen, Isaiah told us, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord, nor are your ways my ways, for as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God doesn't think like we do. We need to think like he does. You know, 37 years pastoring, I've heard all kinds of excuses. Come on. I don't know why this one, I wrote it down. I don't mean any offense to anybody, but I've had people come to me and say, well, you know, God wants me happy. And I'm not happy. And so I don't think God minds if I get a divorce. Whoa, you got quiet on me. Come on. I'm not preaching against divorce. Listen, we just make up these excuses. We have our own thoughts when it's specifically a command of God. All kinds of people are making excuses for what God clearly told them not to do. They're picking up sticks. I said, they're picking up sticks. The second sin that this man had was he was supposed to be worshiping. It was the Sabbath. Come on. When he was supposed to be out worshiping, he was out doing other things. Now I'm preaching to the choir. You're all here. But you can take this message to somebody that missed today. All right. He was out doing other things. Listen to me. Not wrong things, just other things. See, I mean, they picked up sticks on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. There was nothing wrong with picking up sticks. There are a lot of Christians out doing other things instead of worshiping God when they should be. I added that should be because Pastor ought to be on vacation today. You know, you say these things and people come up with questions like, what are you trying to say, Pastor? Are we going to hell if we don't go to church? No, I'm just saying I don't know the penalty for picking up sticks. I'm saying there are a lot of Christians that should be in the house of God, but they're out picking up sticks. And one thing is absolutely clear, had this man been in the house of God, worshiping God, he would not be dead. Third sin. It was the sin of compromise. This guy was out picking up sticks. Like I said, everybody picked them up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. All week long they picked up sticks. And so he was just, you know, thinking that, hey, I'm just doing what everybody does all week long. Hey, everybody picks up sticks. There's no big deal about picking up sticks. Come on. Everybody is going to the dance. Everybody has a beer once in a while. Oh, now you're getting quiet on me. You don't mind this guy's sticks, but now I'm snapping a few of your own. Hello. You know, Pastor, you're the only one that seems to think it's wrong to pick up sticks. One of the greatest sins, my belief, one of the greatest sins of the church today is compromise. In Nehemiah, read it later, Nehemiah 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9, there's an interesting story about the priest Eliashib and what he did that was forbidden by the law of God. See, he allowed things to come into the temple. He allowed people to come into the temple, things and people that God said shouldn't be there. See, he even took out some of the things of God to make room for this guy named Tobiah, who was very influential. And after all, Eliashib wanted to get in good with Tobiah. So Tobiah was an Ammonite. Now, if you don't know what that means, Ammonites were not allowed in the temple of God. The Bible says, on that day they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God. Boy, I could give the rest of this sermon on what has entered the church that never used to be in it. But let me give you a little lesson here. Eliashib, the priest, whose name means unity through compromise. Unity through compromise. I hope that makes you think, okay? I'm so tired of Christians compromising to have unity. Well, we all just got to love one another, even if they don't believe what we believe. Enough said. And he's compromised with a guy named Tobiah. You know what Tobiah's name means? Prosperity, pleasure, and good life. Whoa, thank you for that whoa. Amen. Eliashib compromised with prosperity, pleasure, and good life. And we have Christians all over compromising, trading the things of God for pleasures and prosperity and good life. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with the good life or prosperity or pleasures, but we should not be compromising the Word of God for them. You ask these Christians, what are you doing? Where were you? I was just out picking up sticks. Fourth sin, the sin of selfishness. Now, if you read these, you'll see that his efforts were self-motivated. And what I mean by that, the Jewish law was, let me rephrase, in the Jewish law, it was perfectly legal for a priest to pick up sticks on the Sabbath because he was doing ministry for God, and he had to keep the fires of the sacrifice burning. But this guy's efforts was for himself, not for God. And there are too many today who do what they do out of selfish motivation. You missed a good place, say amen. See, instead of picking up sticks for God, they fail to give so that they can have more sticks for themselves. Did you catch that? You know, well, I would have given the offering today, but we're going on vacation next week. Hello out there. Instead of pleasing God, too many of us think of our own pleasures first. Fifth sin. It was an insult to God. What this man done was a reproach to the Lord by despising his word. See, we insult God by picking up sticks and insinuating that we don't have to obey him, his word, or we treat his commands as trivial. Let me tell you something in case you don't know. The commands of God are not trivial. And there are so many people that take the word of God so lightly today, and it's like instead of believing what God says, we believe, well, he said it, but he didn't really mean it. That is an insult to God's integrity. And to insult God in such a way as to imply that he is not in control of my life or my destiny or your life or your destiny, nor does he have say over our fate, such a sin is absolutely inexcusable to the Christian. Come on, sixth sin. The sixth sin was of the child not reverencing the father. Let me make it simple. It was the sin of impiety. It was the sin of lack of reverence. It was the sin of lack of respect. It was the sin of lack of devotion. It was the sin of polytheism. Listen, whenever we put something before God, it is worship. We have never been allowed the option of treating God's commands as we please. Hello. To do so is to honor ourselves instead of honoring God. It is to put ourselves before the word of God and the worship of God. This is a sin that dealt directly with God. See, it was a sin of taking what was holy and making it common. God's commands are holy, church. Old Testament, New Testament, neither one changed any of that. His commands are holy. The picking up of sticks is common. So we find it wasn't about picking up sticks. It was about commands. Hello. How often we take what God has said and what God has meant to be holy and we treat it as common. See, this was the sin of keeping the Sabbath in a negative way. The Sabbath was not a day of idleness. It was a day to worship. It was a day to honor God. Well, I'm not under the law anymore, Pastor Aiken. Let me say this. I don't do it to get into Christ. I do it because I am in Christ. Whew, thank you, Jesus. The seventh sin, and the most important of all of them, was this. He did not enter into God's rest. Hang on, this is where you ought to wake up and pay attention. This is the good part. Here's a man that instead of resting was out working. So why is that so important? We're not going to turn there, but later on read it. Hebrews 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11. In these scriptures, it talks about the Sabbath, and it talks about the Sabbath being a forepicture of something greater to come. It was a forepicture of people that would cease from their labors to be saved. Listen. We find out through Hebrews, the 4th chapter, that the Sabbath that God was looking at was not a day. The Sabbath was a man. See, the Sabbath in the Old Testament foreshadowed the rest that people would enter into, and it pictured Jesus Christ as our Sabbath. In Him, we will find rest and discontinue our labors in order to make heaven our home, to have salvation. Hallelujah. So, not to enter into the rest God made provision for was to deny the very Son that God would send to save the world through cease of their labors. You missed a good place to shout. Hallelujah. See, this man's out working. Want to say this, I love you. But failure to enter into God's rest brings you death. Till I understood that, I couldn't understand why God said kill him. Come on. Failure to trust in Jesus as your Sabbath will bring you death. Failure to enter into Christ for your salvation will bring you eternal death. No man can make heaven by working. You cannot trade works for the Sabbath, Jesus. Amen. This picture of this guy picking up sticks looks a whole lot different right now. At least to me. We are to cease from our works and to trust in Christ. I know you knew that. But just exactly how important that is. Listen, this man had his own thoughts about religion, and it didn't match God's. There are Christian people who have their own thoughts about religion, and it really doesn't match God's. They're good thoughts. I mean, you know what? We have, in the church, we have religious sticks. Yeah. We have prayer sticks. Oh, bless God. I pray 6 hours a day. Hallelujah. We have Bible reading sticks. Well, I got to get my 5 chapters in, my 3 chapters in, my 2 chapters. And boy, if I don't get those in. Hang in there. We have our good works sticks. You don't know all that I've done for the church, Gary. Bless God, hallelujah. I wish more people could be like me. And then we have the going to church sticks. Come on. Okay, let me pause here. I know that sounds contrary to what I've been preaching on, but listen to me. I am not suggesting we don't need these things or we shouldn't do these things. What I'm suggesting is they are useless unless we enter into the Sabbath, unless we enter into the rest of Jesus Christ. And I'll say it again, we don't do it to get there, we do it because we are there. Hallelujah. If one truly enters into the rest that we have in Christ, he'll be in the house of God worshiping. He will be reading his Bible. He will be praying. He will be doing good works, so on and so forth. So I want you to see, this story is not about sticks. It's about failure to enter into God's rest, to obey God's commands by entering into his rest. Did you catch that? That's deep. That'll set you free. Hallelujah. You know, you don't go out and say, well, you know, I'm saved by grace and I'm in Jesus Christ and I don't have to do all that stuff. No, you go out and say, I'm in God's rest. I've entered into Jesus. I'm saved and I want to do all that stuff. Amen. Our Sabbath is spiritual, but it gives us no license to break God's laws. Jesus is a Sabbath command that we cannot afford to ignore. I said, Jesus is the Sabbath command that we cannot afford to ignore. This man ignored the Sabbath command. Listen, be it with rebellion or against God's commands, or be it ignoring God's call for us to worship by exchanging it for worldly pleasures, or be it through compromise with the Word of God, or be it through failure to enter into his rest by faith, accepting Christ as our Lord, be it any of those things, violation of the Sabbath, resting in Christ, is unpardonable. Come on. Whether it violates the law of rest, whatever violates the law of rest will end in eternal death. And so this man's sin required death because he refused to enter into the rest that God gave him. Josh, would you come? Listen. I want to talk to you as Christians. If you're here and you're not a Christian, especially want to talk to you. In a few moments, I'm going to open up this altar. But you could even be a Christian and you have not fully entered into God's rest. And what I mean by that, you can go around saying, well, I'm saved by grace. I'm saved. No. Are you totally submitted to entering into Christ? See, that's the key. You can use the name of Jesus all you want, but are you totally submitted? Because without total submission into the rest that God provided for us through Jesus Christ, you will never make heaven your home. I know that's harsh, but it's harsh enough to give you joy when you enter into it. Don't have time to play games. I want you to think about that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a simple question. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Do you understand that failure to do so is eternal death? But you can change that this morning, right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just me and God seeing you. If that's you and you need to totally submit your life to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. Just slip it up. Just slip it up. Thank you. Anyone else? In just a moment, I'm going to ask that person to come to this altar along with others, but I want to ask us Christians a question. Matter of fact, let me start with this one. Am I picking up sticks? Am I putting my needs before God's commands? Am I doing other things when I really should be worshiping? What am I compromising in my own life? Am I selfish, or am I putting God's will before my own? Am I being obedient to God's will and God's commands? Am I putting anything before God? Am I fully trusting in Jesus as my Savior and not trusting in what I'm doing as a Christian even? I'm going to open this altar. And I want you to come. I want you to come and kneel at God's altar. You can kneel where you're at if you really want to. But you can. I want you to come kneel at God's altar. And if any of those questions struck you, I want you to come and say, Lord, take this out of my life. Make me fully committed to the commands of God. Make my life totally submissive to Jesus Christ, my Sabbath. If there's anything in my life, Lord, show me. I want it out. I want complete obedience in my life, complete service in my life. And as Josh starts to play, I want everybody to stand. Stand now. Everybody stand and start coming to this altar right now and say, God, if there's anything in my life, I want it out. I don't want to miss. I don't want to ignore the Sabbath of God. I don't want to go against the commands of God. I don't want to be idle when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Here's what you need to do. I want to do what you tell me to do, Lord. If you come right now, if you come on, come on, don't be afraid. Slip out. Slip out. Don't worry about somebody seeing you. They got as much trouble in their life as you got in yours. Hello. Come on. Anybody else, you're going to come? You're going to come and say, Lord, make me whole. Make me holy. Hallelujah, Josh. Father, I give you glory. I give you praise. Thank you for these who responded to your word. Those who are watching, Lord, may you touch their lives also as they take your word this morning, Lord, and examine their life with it. I pray, Father, that everyone under the sound of my voice will come to that conclusion and say, God, I want to be totally yours. Totally yours. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name, giving you the glory, Father.